Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Neil Coulong joins us. Neil, as always, Neil would never ask a question at the Super Bowl. Is this a must win?
The funniest thing about that is it's a bit, and nobody knows. It's probably maybe the popularity of the guy that's doing it, but he does it every year, and he has for a long time. The outrage of it is well worth the continuance of it, far less than the coach's reaction. It's really more of a bit against the media who are in attendance that take such things far too seriously. But would I have the cojones to do that? No. I wouldn't. I'm happy it's done, though.
There's a lot of dumb stuff that happens on Super Bowl media day. So Nick Sirianni, the coach, second year, he was with Kansas City, and look, I completely understand where he's coming from with the Kansas City thing. He was not fired. He was not retained. There's a big difference. It still means you don't have a job. But his wife's from there. He was engaged to her at the time. Her family lives there. So I understand all of that. When you look at a guy like that who's been able to work his way to the position he's in, what do you see?
Honestly, for a head coach, I see, at the NFL level, a fairly typical path. I get why he has that edge. I kind of like that about him. I would probably be the same way. I don't know if it has a whole lot of validity, just considering it, kind of to your point too, that there is a difference at the NFL level between your contract not being renewed or extended or whatever you want to say to it, and being terminated, as in your contract was ended early. It's a financial decision that an ownership group would have to make, and if they don't think enough of you to continue at all and they want to pay you to not be there, that's a much stronger statement than saying, you know what, thanks, we want to go in a different direction. We don't owe you anything. You don't owe us anything. Either way, he took whatever he got from that experience and made himself better. I don't think that's been a question since he's been in charge there. I can see where he is coming from, and I think his path, generally speaking, is one of innovation. For me, the thing I really like about Philadelphia, and I've been saying this since the offseason, you can see they're trying to win in a way that other people aren't. He really tried to embrace the idea that we don't have a prototypical quarterback, so we don't have to coach in a prototypical fashion. We have a very good quarterback, and we can coach him in a very logical manner, which really, to me, is what the NFL is today. And you and I have talked about this a bunch. The amount of cover two that teams are playing, it forces this. And I think Sirianni is just simply saying, look, we're going to do what they're letting us do, which is to say we don't have to add in all these things because we have a quarterback with this arm. We don't have to add in the complexity of it. We're going to put our quarterback in a couple different quick decisions. We're going to say, you've got this option if this guy is coming down. In other words, if your safety is attacking up front, you know you have one-on-one somewhere, go for it. Because we added a top 10 receiver talent from the draft, and we traded and then extended one of the best in the league. You've got two guys in there, along with a very talented all-around tight end. Make a play down the field if it's there. If it's not, though, this is your outlet option, or you can run. And that's all they do. It's not overly complex. And I think Sirianni is the right coach for that, because perhaps, he kind of sees himself as being overlooked. He wasn't somebody that was high on the list, whatever list it is and whatever worth that has every single year, of guys that teams wanted to bring in and install this high-octane offense with all this, high-level arm talent required to run that. It's smart. It's efficient. It's very cost-effective, not for a whole lot longer, but they're doing right now what the league is letting them do, and I think that is the most important thing. They're capable of favorites in this game. They've been favorites for most of the season, and they have two first-round draft picks. So to be honest with you, a financial concern of theirs is even using both of those picks. They can trade it down for the next year and not have to stack them up just in this one season. And they've done that because of what they've built for themselves. And that's just simply using the talent that they have and not trying to force the square peg into the round hole. I think it's genius. And they're a fun team to watch. And I think win or lose this game, they're going to be back in high-level contention next year as well.
Oh, no. I think that they've got this great two-year window this year and next year. Now, after that, because of the way the salary cap works and the way contracts are, then I think at that point it's going to really test the skill of the organization as to how they work it out with the quarterback getting X amount and others as well. There's going to be – one thing I like about Sirianni is that there's been a learning curve, and he understands the learning curve. And his college coach – he would put together all these plays and the whole thing, and he said, look, it's all about players, players, players. You've got to get the ball to your playmakers. That's what his college coach at Mountain Union told him. And they won a billion national championships there. When he went to the Colts, his college coach comes in and he shows him the play sheet and he goes, hey, what are all these 13s on here? And he said, well, that's T.Y. Hilton. That's our best receiver. He looked at him, he goes, very nice. That's how simplistic, Neil, it can be sometimes. The ability of a coach to not have to show everybody they're the genius in the room. They're smart enough to know who their playmakers are.
I agree 1,000,000%. And that's why I've enjoyed watching them. Because think of it like this, too. The funniest paradox that exists here, and perhaps there are other reasons for this that I'm not going to get into now, but people look down upon Jalen Hurts as a quarterback. Yet you've got a receiver with 1,500 yards and another one with 1,100 yards and a tight end who was actively involved when he was healthy. A strong running game that, yes, is spearheaded by the quarterback, but they have a guy with 800 yards rushing. They're just simply producing, yet Hurts is not a factor to this, and I don't understand why. They're efficient. They just gain. But more than anything, they will take the shot down the field when a defense gives it to them. Right. And to me, that's in the same philosophy that you just mentioned. Here's A.J. Brown with single coverage. Get him the ball.
Yep.
We don't need to overcomplicate this. It's right there. If he's even, he's leaving. Get him the ball. That's basic football. It doesn't seem to me, and I'm not in their coach's room breaking down exactly what they're doing, and I might be oversimplifying it too much, but I don't think they want to make it complicated for that very reason. And with that, too, you ever notice how few delay of game penalties they ever have? How few negative plays they ever have?
Exactly.
These
yep.
things are all, in my opinion, they are all part and parcel of a well-coached, well-coordinated offense. It's slowed as well. The knock on Hurts is they give him the sense that, I should say his detractors give off the idea that he's just in this system, which really means I only complete 6-7 yard passes all day.
No.
And I can complete X amount of them. It's absolutely not the case. They hit right on big plays often. I'm just talking about the Steelers game, which looked like the 4th of July as far as explosive plays go. They hit consistently down the field. Yes, they have a boatload of talented receivers at the receiver position, but that's exactly why they brought him in. They wanted to do this. Guys are hitting deep down the field. If you're there, we're going to get you the ball. We have confidence in our defense. We've put a lot of money into our defense as well. But our offense is going to be the tip of the spear of this team, which is really kind of the commonality of every successful team nowadays. They're able to manage what they have and what they can do. And to me, it's a lot of fun to know that that's what's going into this. And I'm not taking anything away from Kansas City that does run a little bit more complexity, but there is still a root in a simplified ability to get the ball down the field. It's an explosive plays game, and these are two teams that have built themselves up to have the option to make an explosive play down the field consistently. It's not the only thing they do, but they can do it, and they will. They're willing to take that risk, and they do it efficiently.
Conversely, let's go to Kansas City, a team that when they had Tyreek Hill led the league repeatedly in shots down the field. Now against that cover two and with Tyreek Hill in Miami, I think they only got, one shot this year. They have been a short to medium range passing team. They've been great with it. Why?
My opinion, to use this phrase again, it's part and parcel of what they saw coming in the NFL, which is why they traded Tyreek Hill. Now, it doesn't look all that great now, and I kind of was in favor of Kansas City winning that deal. It doesn't really look like that's the case now. You get a stable quarterback situation in Miami, and Tyreek Hill might have been the MVP. He was out of his mind for however long, but that's Tyreek Hill. He's proved to everybody, myself included, how much of a freak he is. What Kansas City was able to do in the pre-heavy modified cover two, which is what we see now, he was running like circus routes all over the field. He would drag guys 75 yards up and down the field and just exhaust them. And Mahomes was quick enough on his feet, and he could throw from so many different windows and had so much arm talent. He's able to get him when he eventually would break open at some weird angle down the field. I don't think Kansas City wanted to bank $27 million over 4 years for Hill when they could get back what they were being offered on the idea that will continue to work. Now, right or wrong, I don't know. Kansas City's in the Super Bowl. Miami didn't quite make it work out. It looked to me like, you know, both teams got quite a bit of value out of that deal. Kansas City, though, doesn't have that kind of playmaker. And, you know, I might argue that nobody but Miami does anymore. They aren't willing to risk that kind of a play, keeping their quarterback alive inside and outside the pocket for 6 seconds is a risk. You know, we've seen that up and down. More than anything, I think they're leaning on a guy that I think it's fair at this point to say is one of the three best tight ends in the history of the game, getting right. him the ball at reasonable distance, setting him up, and trying to play a little bit more possession than anything else. And I might argue some of that might be Reed's insistence that their offense isn't going to consistently score 31-plus points a game with what they have to do, and they still have to protect their defense. Now, while Chris Jones is, in my opinion, probably second or third defensive player of the year this year in a very competitive mm-hmm. vote at the top, any one of those guys can win it, and he would be a memorable winner of that award this year. His season is mm-hmm. unreal. I mean, he really played right. at an outstanding level. They don't have like a ton else everywhere else, so I think.
Frank Clark's the other guy, obviously, and the fact yeah, they're close yeah. close to each other makes it a difficult matchup. Yeah,
they can make plays, and they have to make plays, and I think we saw that against Cincinnati as well. I don't think Cincinnati should have lost that game. I think that was really more on them, but Frank Clark came up big in a couple minutes for them. It wasn't a game, though. They were going to score a bunch of points. They had to win more on defense than anything else. And I think turnovers were a concern. Certainly that was in the previous season's AFC Championship game. And Kansas City needs to find the big home run hitter, and I don't think they really felt that they had that just yet. They're trying to keep things shorter to try to maintain possession and be able to hit on something here and there, but to try to take more of the game with the ball in their possession, not turn it over as much, and complete passes get down the field at a very efficient rate in their own right. And to some degree, I think they were successful. This is also why Kansas City, you know, I don't think they lost against the spread almost most of their games this season.
Right, because
I don't have the number in front of me.
No doubt.
Everyone assumes that they're going to blow everybody out, and they don't, because that's not how they're playing anymore. They don't have Tyreek Hill.
And that was the case this year with Tampa Bay and Green Bay. Because of Brady and Rodgers, people don't realize, like, quote, against the spread, people that were kept overvaluing those two teams because of the two quarterbacks.
Yeah, we put a lot into what quarterbacks used to do, and I think it brings out the argument of quarterback wins. You know, it's a very controversial statistic. The quarterback certainly has a lot into winning a game, but the manner in which they win it is something that's not discussed when it comes to quarterback wins. if you're going against the spread, you're going to need to take a look at that. I think that's a big reason why betting Kansas City betting against Kansas City this year was probably pretty beneficial for a lot of people. When they're favored by six and they consistently win by three in these tough, nail-biting games, it doesn't mean that Mahomes isn't any good. It just means that right. those opportunities are not being afforded to them as much as they were, and they're not taking advantage of what they do have enough. They're not hitting that over anymore. You know, and I think with Kansas City, you've got Mahomes at a high level. Look at him playing struggling, even when he's a little bit hurt, and then you go watch Tom Brady, you watch Aaron Rodgers right now. You can't argue, you know, nobody's arguing that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are not, you know, very well could be one and two all time. Nobody could really say that's absolutely not the case. But you can't watch them this season and expect them to return to what they were 5 years ago. It's not going to happen.
No.
They're not as physically strong anymore. That kind of natural talent is fading. You know, I'm their age. I get it. You know, I totally know where that is. I can't play pickup basketball. It doesn't work the way that it used to. They're not going to improve. They're very smart. They can control a game mentally. They know what they're looking at. But it comes down to explosive plays. If you don't have the ability to get that to just rip it deep to a receiver that's open to you know, knock off 40, 50-yard chunk plays, your offense is not going to be as potent. And you can't really call that with Rodgers and Brady right now. They're going to tell you up and down that they can do it. You know, you heard Ben say that
sure.
to the end.
Of course.
You know, it's like,
I know.
You just can't, okay? Objectively, you just can't. It's not there consistently enough for me to feel confident in calling that all the time. Mahomes still has that for a long time yet. But, you know, I don't know. I was just talking with people at work about this. I wouldn't even come close to trading much of anything for Aaron Rodgers
no,
right now. I just wouldn't.
No. I agree.
I don't think he's going to go for what the masses seem to think that he will either for that very reason. And on top of that, you got to pay him, what, like $50 million? No, thanks. I'm not rebuilding with Aaron Rodgers. He can't make a decision without the help of hallucinogens. I don't understand why I want to pay this guy, by far and away the highest total in the league, to come in for what could be not even half a season. I mean, we're watching his regression each and every game. It doesn't mean he can't be effective, but his value doesn't even come close to his price tag anymore, and that happens. That's the NFL.
Your price tag always worth it.
So, I wish. Yeah. People, you need to tell that to.
I will. As a matter of fact. My friend, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.